You are listening to Motif Mosaic.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. This is Motif Mosaic with your host, Blessing. Thank you for coming in and welcome to the show. Sit in, relax, and let's listen to some good music. And so, just as we start off today, there's just something that, you know, I think about from time to time as a Christian and just a sign in the faith is that there's a promise that God gives us. You know, Jesus says that I will come back soon. And we don't know how soon has to be, but it's been 2,000 years. And just as probably the disciples were waiting for Jesus to come, everyone else before me has been waiting for Jesus to come. But I know that God's word is true and is faithful and it will come to pass. And oftentimes when I think about it, you know, I just think in the most human way possible is that, you know, sometimes when you have a favorite relative coming over, in some instances, you know, I just think about when I'm told by my mom growing up that my grandmother is coming over, you know, I'd be so excited. I'd be so happy because I know she'll bring me some good food and all that stuff. And I'd just be treated like a king for a couple of days. But in that time before she arrives, just this anticipation in my heart to say that, oh, I'm going to see this person again. I'm going to see this person that I care about and love so much. And I think it's the same thing for each and every one of us. You know, you get a text message from a friend saying, oh, I'm going to be in town next week and can I come crash at your house or something like that? And you're just thinking, oh, we're going to do this. We're going to go to see these places, or we're going to be able to sit and chat and catch up and all these things. And, you know, a similar sentiment that has to be there, you know, about Christ Jesus and his coming, to say that, oh, our Lord and Savior is coming. He's on the way. And we're going to see him face to face, to know that this man, you know, to know that God is coming, and to know that we're going to see the one who loves us face to face, and we're going to be able to rejoice in his presence. You know, some people probably have questions and things that they have in their mind, say that, oh, when Jesus comes, I'm probably going to ask him this, or what did this scripture mean, or how was it during your time on earth, how was it being a child, a teenager, a man, and all these different things. But there's just this excitement and this anticipation that we ought to have, to know that Jesus is coming. You know, Jesus is coming again, and we're going to see him in that day of redemption, that we're going to see him. And there's a hope that we have, to know that one day I'm going to see Christ Jesus, one day I'm going to see him in his glory, in his kingdom. And it's a beautiful thing to know that there's this anticipation we can live with, this hope that we can live with, to know that it's not over for us right now in this life, but we know that we're going to see Christ again in his glory, and we're going to be able to worship him and give him praise and thanks. And so we ought to have this in our mind that we don't know the hour or the day, but are we ready for his coming?
Have you ever thought that the world has kind of lost its way? As it seems, yeah, I know it's gonna be okay. Ooh, yeah. It doesn't scare me. It's temporary. There's something better we got forever. And it won't be long, cause we know our help is on the way. The way. So keep your head up. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. No, don't you give up.
Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. And when the world gets cold.
people get ready. Are you ready? Are you ready? People get ready. People get ready. Are you ready? Are you ready? People get ready. Yeah, let's get ready. Oh, it's coming. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back.
So there's an image that Jesus uses when he's teaching his disciples about the kingdom of heaven. And he says, you know, the kingdom of heaven is as though that a man found a hidden treasure in a field and went and sold all that he had to buy that field so that he can have that treasure. There's a few different ways of interpreting what the meaning was behind this text. And one of the interpretations and the meanings of this text is that the kingdom of God is worth everything. You know, is worth that man selling all that he had to buy the field so that he can get the treasure that he saw in the field. And the same thing happens for each and every one of us. You know, do we come to the point of realizing and understanding that to know Jesus is worth more than anything that we have in this world? You know, I'm reminded of where Paul says to the church in Philippi that all his accreditation, all that he has, he counts it as nothing. He counts it as rubbish. He counts it as dung as compared to knowing Christ Jesus. And so it's the same thing for us. You know, is there anything in our life that we're holding on to so much more than our knowledge of Christ Jesus? Something that we value more than our relationship with Jesus Christ? Because all of it should pale in comparison to the glory and the joy, the peace and the love that we experience in Christ Jesus. You know, it's something that we ought to have in our own lives to say that, Lord Jesus, I love you and I'm willing to sell all that I have for your sake. Of course, Jesus won't call everyone to sell everything that they have, but there has to be a heart posture within each and every one of us to say that Jesus, in terms of all the things that I value, he's way up there and everything else is just down there and it's worthless. And this next song, you know, the title of it, of the song itself, and just the praise and the adoration that goes into it, it's more than anything. And this rendition is done by the Brooklyn Church Choir. And, you know, it's something that challenges me whenever I sing along to it, because one of the words is that says, I love you, Jesus, more than anything. You know, to say that more than the breath that I take, I love Jesus more than that. You know, I love Jesus more than the best thing this world has to offer. And that's the kind of love that we ought to have for Christ Jesus in each and every one of us' hearts. Because if there's a love for something else that gets in the way of our love for Christ Jesus, then that unfortunately becomes idolatry. So may this be a moment as we listen in to check in our hearts to say that, Lord, let it not just be lyrics to a song that I'm singing along to, but may I mean it from the depths of my heart that I love you more than anything. So this is More Than Anything by the Brooklyn Church Choir.
I can sing to you this song.
If you listen to a lot of Christians praying, you know, we tend to end our prayers in a very uniform way. You know, we either say it in one shape or form or another, but at the end of our prayers, we usually say in Jesus' name or in your mighty name or in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray. And then we say, amen. And just had me thinking, what does it mean if we add that bit to our prayers to say that, oh, I've prayed in Jesus' name and that's it? You know, does it mean like it's a charm that we put at the end of words that we say that, oh, I've said all this, then I'm going to put in Jesus' name and definitely it's going to be heard and definitely it's going to be answered? Because I think at times we get to be superstitious with certain things and phrases. We use it without actually knowing what it means, or we misuse the phrases that we're taught or the things that we repeat over and over in our heads. But the thing is, when we're praying in Jesus' name, we ought to consider and see why it is that we're praying in Jesus' name and what it means to pray in Jesus' name. Because you praying in Jesus' name doesn't necessarily mean that whatever it is that you're asking is going to be granted. Because we know that what God wants to grant is the things that are according to His will and His desires for us that bring glory to His name. That's what's going to happen. We can't just tag in Jesus' name to our own selfish desires or our own misunderstandings of things going on around us as we pray. But when we pray in Jesus' name, what it means in one aspect is that we're asking God, but we're not asking according to our own righteousness. We're not asking according to our own name or our own reputation in God's sight. But what we are doing is we're praying, saying that, Lord, this is what I'm asking for you, but I come before you in the name of Jesus Christ. I come before you, not in my own authority, not in my own power, but in the power that is granted to those who are in Christ Jesus. So it's knowing that we're coming to God, knowing that we have an advocate, we have someone who goes in between us and the Father, and it's in His name that we pray, it's in His name that we ask, and it's in His name that we seek the presence of God, it's in His name that we seek the moving of God, not of our own. And, you know, it's a sort of surrender to say that, as I come to you, O God, I'm empty, but I come trusting in Christ's name as I pray and as I bring all these things before you. So as we pray, may it not be us whitewashing or overusing that phrase to say it's in Jesus' name, but as we do so, may it be from a point of understanding that it's in Christ's power and it's in Christ's authority and submission to His will that God will be glorified as we pray.
For my brothers and my sisters feeling low, for the orphan longing desperately for home, for the broken ones who don't know where to go, in Jesus' name, there is hope. For the mothers and the fathers on their knees, for the sons and daughters trapped in slavery, for the anxious heart that's fighting for some peace, in Jesus' name,
she
so the next song that we're listening to is actually coming from Isaiah 26, and this is how it reads in the ESV. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And the thing is, you know, a lot of the time, I think when we're faced with problems, when we're faced with just difficult situations, there's two things that we can do. It's either we focus on the problem or we focus on the solution. And we know in our lives, or we know, you know, the Sunday school answer is that Jesus is the answer to all our problems. You know, if someone were to go into a Sunday school and you just look at most of the questions that are being asked, as long as you say Jesus is the answer to it, technically you're right. And it's true that God is the answer to all our problems. God is the one who solves what is wrong within us and helps us to become better people and sanctifies us and, you know, makes us new. And at the same time, you know, when we're faced with problems, when we're faced with situations that are out of our control, there's just two attitudes that we can have. Are we going to act in faith to trust and know that our God gives us peace? Our God is the one who's in control, because there's this promise that's being given here that the one who keeps his eyes upon you, the one who keeps his mind upon you, you keep him in perfect peace because he trusts in you. And we're not to trust in our own abilities. We're not to trust in whatever situation, whatever it is that's around us, because we know things change on a whim. You know, in a matter of seconds, things can go from a high to a low or the other way around. And we know that the only one that we can trust in, who's steadfast, who's the same and who's never changing, is God. And because of that, we can have this peace. We can have this assurance to know that I am trusting in my God, who never lets me down, who never fails. And it's a promise for me and for you to know that as we keep our minds upon God, as we keep our minds upon his abilities and what it is that he can do for each and every one of us, we can have a peace to know that he's in control and he's sovereign over all situations, over all problems. So as you listen in, this is Stayed on Him by Therion. It's an encouragement for me, for you, to be reminded that God is in control. God is the final say. God is sovereign, and God is the one who's leading all things and he's ruling all things. So just take heart, dear listener, knowing that God will keep us in his perfect peace as we give thanks unto him and as we keep our thoughts focused upon him.
There's a world full of mercy and peace, mercy and peace waiting for me. There's a land for the lost and the least, where they dine with the king waiting for me. Yeah, his holiness fills up the temple. Still he took my sin and my shame. I didn't deserve to be rescued. Still he has called me by name. I'll stand firm with confidence till he comes again, till he comes again. I'll keep my that you never change. change, I know.
So the same that Jesus gives the disciples command to do, you know, he tells them that you must be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And when you look at it, in my own life, actually, you know, there's so very little that I can do in my own strength. There's so very little that I can achieve, you know, to say that, oh, at the start of the year, I probably had resolutions to say, oh, I want to eat better. I want to exercise. I want to read. I want to do all these mindful things so that I can just take better care of myself. And by the time I get to the third month of the year or a few weeks in, you know, some of these things have dropped off or I've compromised or I probably tried to bend the rules and all that stuff to just make things a little bit more comfortable because of how difficult it can be to discipline oneself and to just keep on doing certain things. But Jesus is raising the bar so much and he tells them, I want you to be perfect just like your Father in heaven. And you know, when you look at that, it just seems so impossible. It just looks like something that cannot be done by human beings. And you know, I'm just reminded of an encounter that Jesus has with a rich man. And the rich man comes to Jesus and says, what can I do to inherit eternal life? You know, he says, I've kept the commandments, you know, I've lived a good life, morally so, I've done everything that I can, that can be done. And Jesus looks at him and says that he loved him and told him one thing, go and sell all your possessions and follow me. But then the rich man walked away sadly because he had many great possessions and he loved his possessions. And then this baffles the disciples and they ask the Lord and they say, okay, if this man who kept the commands was actually doing a good job and still he did not meet your standard, he was not able to sell all that he had, what about us who are not really able to keep the commandments? You know, is it possible for any individual to be able to be saved or to be able to inherit this eternal life? And then Jesus looks at them and he tells them a very reassuring thing and he tells them that this with man is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. You know, to know that in our own might, in our own strength, we cannot achieve what God has set out to do for us with the gift of salvation. In our own ability to try and obey God's commandments, we are not able to perfectly do and meet the requirements of what God wants for each and every one of us. And it's a burden that is very heavy to think about and to say that, oh wow, so the Ten Commandments, I can barely even keep them. How am I supposed to get to the point of perfection that God is calling me to? But there is this promise that Jesus says that with God, it is possible. So it's not in our own might, it's not in our own strength, but it's when God takes over and he changes us and he makes us perfect. So we do not rely in our own ability to achieve these things, but we rely and we put our faith in God to know that with God, it is possible that we overcome. With God, it is possible that we become just like Jesus was, you know, to live a life just like Jesus has, because we trust in God, we trust in his ability, and we know that nothing is impossible for God. So as we listen into the Snake song by Sunday, and he just talks about how it is a fight in our own flesh to do things by our own, but with God nothing is impossible.
How can I say that I love you, oh God? My hidden sins are eating me alive. I've been fighting for so long. Only you know how Samson almost failed. Only you know how Paul fought to prevail. Jesus, your grace is enough. I wanna be holy. I wanna be sanctified. I won't dance with my sins in the pool of fire. I wanna be of you. Apart. Even in the valley, Lord, you got my heart.
so there's this image also that I pondered upon. I hope it sticks. I hope it lands. And basically it's this, that when you look at a fish, you know, as it swims in water, I don't think that fish can see water. But when you take a fish outside of water, it stops. It's not able to breathe as well. It's not able to function as well. And, you know, within minutes, I think a fish can easily lose its life because of not being in water. And the same thing applies for us. You know, when we look at our own lives, at times we do not understand or we do not see the grace of God and all that He has done for us, because it's just so much in our face, or it's just so normal to us, unfortunately, that we take it for granted and we don't understand that God has His hand upon our lives, that He's being so good to us, He's blessing us, He's carrying us through, He's sustaining us. But oftentimes we forget and we take it for granted, much like a fish in water that can't see the water that it needs to breathe. The same thing happens for us, that we do not see God's grace upon us and how He's keeping us, protecting us and leading us, that we take it for granted. And one way to appreciate what God has done for us is to just imagine, what would life be like without the grace of God? What would life be like without Jesus in our lives? To know that the hope, the assurance, the confidence, the faith that we can have, you know, the things that we've been able to achieve, the things that we've been protected from because of Jesus. If that wasn't the situation, if that wasn't the reality, where would we be? How would things be like? You know, it puts things into perspective to help us to see and understand what God is doing for us, to see and understand that He is so good to us, and without His goodness, we would be lost. Without His mercy, where would we be? And, you know, it's the Snake song that we're listening to, Without Jesus by Ryan Ellis, he asked this question: where would I be without Jesus? Where would I be without the hope that He gives me? You know, personally for me, I think it would actually just drain the color out of life. It would drain the flavor out of food, because living that kind of life without hope, without direction, without assurance, it's a heavy thing, and it's something so crushing to the soul that I often have to come back and be reminded that I cannot take for granted what Jesus has done for me. I cannot take for granted His goodness for me, but I thank Him, you know, knowing that without Him, I'd be lost. But now I have Him, I am found, I have the solid rock that I can walk upon, I have these promises that I can trust in. So be reminded, be grateful to know that we have Christ Jesus in our lives, and without Him, we'd be so far and so lost. So this is Without Jesus by Ryan Ellis. Thanks for tuning in.
But I know who holds them all. Don't have all the directions, but I never walk alone. God only knows, God only knows how to work this out. No matter the road, wherever I go, I'll never be without. I've got something to believe. From the love that saved my life, not afraid where He takes me, 'cause He'll never leave my side. Oh, I've got something to believe in, faith that's more than a feeling. I could have gone another way and now I see it. Where would I be, where would I be without Jesus? I've got hope for the healing, love that leads me to freedom. Where would I be without Jesus? that Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Motif Mosaic.